Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I just can't get past this idea of what good and bad looks like on this show. Like, who is the truly evil character? Because now more than ever, I don't know that Garrett Randall was evil.
Prior to the season 4 finale of Yellowstone, we asked for predictions and offered a few of our own with the promise to spotlight anyone who was right. And the winner is... no one. Absolutely nobody saw what transpired between Beth, Jamie, and Garrett Randall coming. It was dark and depressing, which is to say it was on brand for a show that never fails in giving us moral dilemmas to work through at night. I'm Addison Hager, and as much as any episode, episode 10 presented questions of good versus evil and right versus wrong. Who is the hero? Billy Dukes is standing by to help sort through the murder, the regrets, the visions, the fist fights, and the wedding that brought this season to a close. Are there any loose ends? What can we expect from season 5? Did a fan favorite really just drive off the show with his beautiful new fiance sitting shotgun beside him? Tap follow on the podcast platform you're listening and leave a 5-star rating and review if you're on Apple Podcasts. We also ask for questions and comments at staff@tasteofcountry.com. You keep us on our toes, as you'll hear during this Q&A portion of today's podcast. Why did Jamie choose option 3? Why did Beth deny Carter joy? What did Casey mean when he told Monica he saw, quote, the end of us? There's so much to unpack. Let's start having those conversations right now.
Hello, Addison!
Hello, Billy! Happy 2022!
This is as excited as you're going to hear me this episode, because that episode of Yellowstone was a downer. It was tough.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, talk about starting 2022 off on a heavy heart. Just, no.
Give me like your initial emotional response to the season finale of Yellowstone. Like, where's your head at? Where's your heart at? What were you thinking and feeling as you watched all that went down go down?
Mainly, well, two things. Happy, there's some distinct moments that just made me so excited. Like, I felt very high, like, happiness and very, very low sadness. There was two things that made me really sad. One is a very obvious one. Not trying to give spoilers out, so that's why I'm being pretty vague right now. But I left truly feeling like someone had stuck me on a roller coaster of emotion. Of I left going, man, I feel really happy, but at the same time, I think I need to like go on a walk, clear my head, watch a happy movie or something that didn't end so heavy.
It really lingered. Like, I told some people who were going to watch a little later, I'm like, give yourself 2 hours because it's a really long episode.
Yeah.
But then give it like, don't watch it right up before bedtime because you're going to need like a decompression hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself, I just can't get past this idea of what good and bad looks like on this show. Like, who is the truly evil character? Because now more than ever, I don't know that Garrett Randall was evil. Like, can you say during his final scenes that was a bad, bad man?
No. And that's coming from me who did not like him. No. And to be honest, I ended up having a different character at the end too. I was like, I would classify as just downright evil. Deep down, there's something there, and it's, yeah.
Well, let's go right into this final scene then, because I think I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously, we're going to have some spoilers here. This is the season finale of the show. If you haven't watched, hop out. But in the end, it all kind of builds up to this scene where Beth gives Jamie 3 choices. The first choice is results in Jamie going to jail because she says that Garrett's going to pin all the attacks on Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
The second choice is Rip can kill Garrett and then hunt down Jamie for making it so she can't have kids. And then we find out about this third choice, which is what Jamie ultimately selects. He has to kill his real father, Garrett Randall. And it comes right after the actor, Will Patton, looks in the camera and says, "You're a good man, son. And I love you." So many "I love yous" in this first episode. But Jamie says, "I love you too," and then pulls out a gun.
Boom!
Pow! Oh my gosh.
Ah, what a scene to, whack your dad off on. Oh my God.
It was pretty hard to stomach that scene. And Yellowstone's had some really disturbing scenes. A terrible Beth attack scenes, a violent assault in season 2. Of course, the attacks that ended season 3 were up there. This one lingered with me maybe more than any of those.
Well, I think for me, it was one of those, I've always tried to give Jamie the benefit of the doubt of, I think deep down, he just wants his family's approval. He's going to be, this shining light at the end of the day. And unfortunately, this scene only put a nail in the coffin for me of realizing, at the end of the day, he cares about himself and how things are going to affect him. And he will literally kill his own father, doing generationally what Garrett did to his wife, Jamie's mother, Jamie did to his dad, killed him. And so, I'm no longer a Jamie fan. He struck out for me.
Everything Beth has been saying about her brother for the better part of 4 episodes proved to be absolutely true. He is motivated by selfish means. Mm-hmm. And he's a puppet. He's afraid. There isn't, I don't know. Another member of our team, Sterling Whitaker, says that maybe this show is ultimately going to be about Jamie's redemption in some sort of way as the series concludes. And I just can't see a path there for Jamie at this point.
I don't know if viewers have the attention and just willpower to, be by his side for a whole nother season.
Well, he's coming back. This is interesting. We've seen some interviews with the actor, Wes Bentley, and he has this full beard. And I think that's because Jamie is bearded for a lot of season 5. And last time we saw Jamie bearded was after he killed the reporter who was interviewing him, and he was all depressed and growing out his facial hair. This is going to be another one of those sort of depressed Jamie seasons. He's still a main character. The story arc's going to evolve. What they're going to do with him, I don't know. I guess maybe the only hope for that theory that his redemption story is coming is that he's not dead already. Taylor Sheridan's not done with this character, so he didn't go ahead and whack Jamie as well as Garrett. But oof.
But man, that, I know, woof. But even talk about even heavier is the scene after he shoots his dad.
So Garrett ends up being taken to the train station, and Jamie's about to drag the body and throw him over the cliff. And Beth happens to be right there, and she takes a cell phone photo of Jamie literally holding the body, so she knows where that body is buried. And her plan is to use that against Jamie and essentially own him for the rest of his days. This goes back to my question, who is the good guy and who is the bad guy on this show? And I'm not sure any of the Duttons are the good guys.
No, this is the scene, and I have been a Beth fan between the Carter scene that we can talk about later, and then this scene where I'm like, you just made Jamie kill his own father, and now you're going to take a picture of it and use it as blackmail for him? I'm like, how messed up can you be?
It's something that just occurred to me about that photo is a lot of the bodies that are on the other side of that cliff are there because of the Duttons, so if Beth incriminated Jamie Dutton in that sense, eventually she'd be incriminating her own father in some sort of way too. So that could be an out for Jamie to get under the Dutton, out from under the Dutton thumb.
It's been fun, or fun is potentially the wrong word there, but I was on TikTok the other day, and fans have found the train station, where that was shot. And I've been taking video, and I'll have to show it to you. Yeah, people have been showing. They're like, look, does this look familiar? They don't go to the very edge and look over, but they show you kind of the road, and it's exactly what is pictured on the show, which is cool.
Is it just inside the Wyoming border?
You know, the video that I saw did not give me that much detail. It showed pretty much that little, the little U where people kind of pull off and
yeah,
you have the concrete and then the cliff. But yeah.
I wonder how they figured that out because it's pretty nondescript and it's really dark there when all those bodies go over the cliff. So I don't know. I wonder how they kind of figured that out. Maybe it is just past the Wyoming border sign in some sort of sense, but that's going to be like a hot new tourist attraction. Come see where the Duttons hide their bodies. It'll be a little souvenir
stop
stand.
On the tour bus.
Yeah. They'll sell snow globes and hats.
Hey, honestly, I'd probably go. So they'd get me.
Yeah, I'll take a hat. You know, I went to the train station and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. You know, something like that.
And a selfie.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take a couple of those. I mean, there's a buck to be made. Why not make it?
Oh my gosh. Too good. Well, kind of staying on the somber note, which we will get to, you know, more happier moments later. But speaking of Beth, there's this Carter scene that I think for me was probably just, I mean, aside from Jamie and Garrett, just the scene that, oh, ripped my heart out was Carter was in the barn tending to the horses, doing what he does, and Beth walks in and he goes, "Hey, Mama," and she says, "Hey, I think sweetie or
yeah,
hey,
baby or something."
Baby, yeah. Realizes what she has said and pretty much tells Carter, "Why'd you call me that?" Or ask Carter, you know, "Why'd you say that?" And he goes, "Well, I thought that you could be my stand-in mom," essentially. So sweet. Yeah. So sweet. But Beth has to go in and squash the sweetness and says, "You can't call me that. You lost your mom. Get over it," pretty much. And that for me, and that's kind of a question I have for you, is here is someone who, you know, is bitter towards Jamie that she can't have kids. Here's an opportunity for her to have almost an adopted son who's wanting it so badly from her. And yet she just shuts that door so hard.
I almost forgot about this scene because it was at the beginning of episode 10. I wish this scene had been in a different episode because it kind of would have gotten its own moment. It's so good. So I'm glad you brought that up. And it was a painful scene. There's no reason why she can't be a mother figure to him. She doesn't have to be that realistic. And it felt natural. Like, he calls her mama. She calls him baby. Like, that could have really rolled and been like a nice sort of sweet moment to build on heading into season 5. But within the span of just a few seconds, she just knocks that away. And poor Carter, good acting by actor Finn Little, is left in tears with no hope of that. I don't know. I didn't see the point of it either. You know, Beth has shown some sort of compassion and heart and a want to be like a mother figure for him. But like, and at other times, she sort of resists it.
Well, and she's almost, what she's doing now is a mother role and a mother figure. Rip is a father role, father figure. And it's almost kind of like, you know, when you're dating, you don't want to put labels on it. That's literally what this is. She's acting as a mother role, but almost doesn't want to put a label on it as a stand-in mom.
Yeah, she says that she's his friend. Like, what 14-year-old boy has a 40-year-old female friend? Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you're 14.
Exactly.
And you're a boy, you're playing video games and maybe trying to figure out a way to download dirty images on the internet. You're not going to do that with old lady Beth, who's
has a very
different set of interests.
Well, and I'm a little curious to see if kind of this scene, this moment for Carter, pivots him in the wrong direction for season 5. We could be wrong. It could end up being fine, but I feel like we were building to this Carter's coming into his own, just really making just major, just mature. He's maturing. And I could just see it potentially going a different way because he's hurt.
The Carter story arc hasn't really gone anywhere where I thought it would go this year. I thought a couple of things. One, I thought maybe him and Tate will become close allies on the ranch. That certainly hasn't happened, as Tate didn't even meet the kid and is now living elsewhere. I thought that this could be kind of like a child for Beth and Rip, and she's denying that at every possible turn. It hasn't really gone anywhere yet, but you know, as it leads into season 5, I think he's probably going to be a little bit larger part of the storyline. He's certainly getting a little bit more of a of some play in the last couple of episodes, but you know what? So did Rainwater at the end of season 3, mm-hmm. and we barely saw him at all in season 4. So who knows where this kid's going to end up.
True. Well, I hope so. I've really enjoyed watching Carter's character just progress, and so I sure hope he has a large role in season 5, selfishly.
You know, one thing I want to correct, I think an episode or two ago I said that Beth got a hysterectomy, and I think that was mistaken. That's never really said. It's just said that she was sterilized when she got the abortion. And to sort of explain that story really briefly, because they allude to it during episode 10, Jamie right. takes Beth to get an abortion when they're teenagers. He takes her to the reservation, and the reservation's rule is that anybody who gets an abortion has to be sterilized. That was, you know, when Beth was like 14 or 15 years old. I was a little bit mistaken on the terminology, but the end result is the same. Beth can't have kids, and that is why she hates Jamie's guts so vehemently and endlessly. Like, he will never be forgiven for that. And she won't even try to understand his point of view at the time, which is, I think, a difficult thing for viewers to watch.
I hadn't seen that clip before when we did our recap video, but if you're listening and head over to our YouTube channel, because we do have a clip. As we recapped the last episode, we have that little clip in there, which I think is really good to kind of paint that picture. And yeah, just see it in person. That for me, I got a better understanding of just how young they were. And kind of, yeah, like you said, Beth has never taken a moment to understand Jamie's side.
Yeah.
She's never let him talk. She's only talked.
Speaking of Jamie and some of his other family members, I'm curious to see where the Jamie and Casey relationship goes, because Casey he's been really loyal to Jamie throughout all of this and constantly will say, I love you, brother, and you know, make sure you always mm-hmm. call me brother. But after learning that Jamie at least hid the man who tried to kill him, you know, he protected the man that tried to kill Casey, like, will that relationship be damaged as we move into season 5? And then, of course, there's the obvious, is how are Jamie and John going to relate?
Well, and that kind of builds the question of, and we can go into this next if we want to, Casey's scene and what he ends up saying to Monica, his wife. It could also surround those two topics. It could surround him and Jamie. It could surround him and John. I don't know.
What did you make of that? He says, so we'll dig into the actual ceremony and what Casey goes through in a second, but he comes out of it and towards the very end, Monica, his wife, asks him, what did you see? And he says, the end of us. And that's all we're given. What did you make out of that? Mm-hmm. What did you think he meant?
Well, at first I thought he meant the end of him and Monica, but then I kind of sat on that for a little bit longer and I thought, surely not, especially since they're about to have a child. I don't think the Yellowstone plotline would do that necessarily, especially since I'm like, I don't see any reason for them to, you know, break up or, you know, in their marriage. I see it more so as the end of us. I think he is going to separate himself from his family. And I don't know if that means season 5 more chaos ensues, but I think it's going to be one of those that he leaves and kind of detaches from.
The Duttons?
His family. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I actually saw it, and we do this, it seems like, every time. I saw the exact opposite. I saw the end of us, meaning he's going to go back to the Duttons and maybe even wants to live on the ranch again to help be part of that legacy. And because of that, that is going to result in some fracturing in the relationship between him and Monica, and maybe even some violence, more violence coming towards their family. That was
interesting. See, I saw the baby as more of the anchor.
What? Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
agree to disagree. We'll touch base season 5.
Well, yeah, the reality is that's probably some third option that we haven't even we're not smart enough to imagine quite yet. But I thought when he said the end of us, I thought he meant in a larger sense. I didn't think he just meant him and Monica. I thought he either meant the end of the Duttons' rule on that ranch, or somehow the end of civilization, which is probably a little bit too broad. Wow. But
that's a big one.
Yeah, so maybe it's just has to do with the end of the ranch. Like, this show, to me, when it ultimately concludes, there's not going to be a happy ending. Like, I don't think the Duttons are just going to polish off the final attacker and live out their days. Like, they're somehow going to lose the ranch, or John's going to get killed, or Beth's going to get killed. Like, there's going to be some great tragedy to end it. We're not going to end this series with smiles on our face. No way.
No. I'd agree with that. Yeah, it's been building up to, someone taking over their land. And so at some point, you've got to have that breaking point or just end of here's what the end result is. And so, I agree. And this show tends to not give us pretty wrapped up packages. So I don't foresee, this is not a Hallmark movie where everything works out in the end. So I agree with you of something's going to happen in the end, whether it's a Dutton member dying or their land being taken. It's not, we're not going to end this. I mean, goodness, if season 4 ended the way that it did, I don't expect the next season to end any prettier.
The actor, we talked about this last week, the actor Mo Brings Plenty, who is kind of responsible for a lot of the realistic nature of that ceremony, that ritual that Casey goes through. He talked a little bit more about it again, and they said that there's a lot of that ritual that they left off camera just out of respect for the tribes. But what they did show was very accurate to what a Native American, young Native American boy or a young man might go through. That was cool. I enjoyed how they weaved it kind of across the episode, even though we didn't get a great payoff. This scene and one other scene, I think you kind of have to take as vehicles to get us to season 5 or to get us somewhere new.
Correct.
Like, it wasn't intended to pay off and be a part of this, but next season we're going to see it. And I think the same thing was true of Summer Higgins' character. Like, her, the point of that relationship wasn't to affect this season's plot or even what's going on the Dutton Ranch right now. I think it was ultimately to bring John and Beth a little bit closer. She was sort of a vehicle to do that. But Casey, there were some pretty messed up scenes there with the wolf. And then his brother Lee returns and the flashbacks from Afghanistan. Like, it was intense throughout this episode.
Well, number one, he survived. You and I were very concerned about his water intake. So he survived the 4 days out there. for me, that was definitely one of those. He did a great job acting-wise for that of just...
Yeah,
I could feel the emotion. I thought that was a really good scene with his brother who it almost turned creepy a little bit when he started yelling at Casey. But that was, as someone who's new to the show, that was cool of weaving in, older characters that I had no clue originally who this guy was who was showing up for Casey. But then even showing back when he was serving and stuff like that, I think what that scene helped do is give me a broader understanding of the history.
That was 2018, I think, when his brother, that was season 1, episode 1, when his brother Lee is killed. And he was a good character during that episode. Actor Dave Annabelle seems to be a pretty good actor. So that is a stretch to ask viewers to recall that. But I think it's not too much of a stretch for this show because it asks you to be a little bit smarter and to be truly invested. You can't just kind of pop in and out. You miss an episode, I think you miss a lot, unless you get the recap somehow.
The one that I didn't, Monica shows up during his time pretty much saying, it's just a dream, which I did think that was sweet, but also I didn't fully understand. I was like, we kind of just threw her in there as one of the people who the ghost of girlfriend's past they just show up, and that's kind of what I felt on that one. I was like, nah, you didn't really provide any.
It was just a little gratuitous Monica naked time in the middle.
Yes.
It's been a while since we did this.
Didn't add anything to that. That was the one part of that scene that I was like, we maybe could have done without with that one. But
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know we both want to talk about Jimmy, as well, and what happened with Jimmy. But can we just take a moment to kind of explain what, like, we're going to do with this podcast now that Yellowstone's finished? Because we're not done.
Oh, we are not done. Go for it, Billy.
Yeah, so, like, this is, like we've said all along, this is a Yellowstone 1883 podcast, and we originally kind of built this thing to be more of an 1883 podcast. We kind of figured that, you know, we were coming in late on the Yellowstone podcast game. Maybe we would just sort of trail back, but really attack 1883. But we've just kind of enjoyed this conversation with Yellowstone so much that we've made it kind of a part of the weekly podcast here. But now that 1883 is kind of going in full circle, and there was no 1883 episode on Sunday, which was a little unusual, but that's going to return this next coming Sunday, and I think it runs through like mid-February. Right. We're going to keep doing weekly recaps on 1883. We'll try to get those out on Sunday around noon. And then we'll kind of do one other episode, maybe around Thursday of each week. That's going to continue to be like cast interviews, other sort of insight and analysis, as long as we can take it. And I know we have some interviews in the can with Sam Elliott and LaMonica Garrett that we want to get to. I have another interview coming up, I think, in a couple of days with another primary character from 1883. Excited. We're just going to see how long we can stretch this thing really through February or maybe even to March. And then we'll kind of pop back in as news and things break with regards to the fifth season of Yellowstone and maybe even the second season of 1883, if there is one, which is unclear at this point.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. And thank you for all who listen and give us a rating and review. And we have truly, both of us have loved reading all the comments, emails, theories that you guys send in. It is for sure a treat. And I'm speaking for both myself and Billy. We really, really enjoy those. Some are really good.
People give good insight. You know, they point out things. In fact, one guy just commented, I'm kind of looking at the real-time comments of our YouTube video, which we just published really just about an hour ago. So a little behind the scenes, we record on Monday. Today's Monday. We'll drop on Tuesday. The video just went live about 90 minutes ago, and someone pointed out that Casey was actually a Navy SEAL and not a Marine. I got that little detail wrong. So, you know, keeping us honest, and it's been really positive, the conversation back and forth, which is rare and refreshing on social media, I think.
I totally agree.
Cindy says, I can't believe two women would fight over Jimmy.
True. Cindy, I love Jimmy.
But is Jimmy the kind of guy that's going to have women fighting over him?
I mean, no.
I can tell you from like personal experience that tall, skinny, white guys from the Midwest that really don't have anything remarkable about them, those aren't the kind of guys that have women just fighting for his affections. It just doesn't happen.
No. My brother did. We watched it, and my brother goes, he goes, you know what? I understand why sometimes cowboy hats make someone look so much more appealing and attractive, because Jimmy without a cowboy hat is just, he looks a little bit different, which I was like, honestly, I think it's a cowboy hat.
So Jimmy returns to the Yellowstone Ranch in this episode, and he makes a great entrance back into the bunkhouse as they're playing cards. And they say, Jimmy, pull up a chair. And he says, actually, we're going to need two chairs because my fiance is here. And I thought that, I think it was Jake has the best line where he says, that's going to go over like a fart in church.
I know. I loved that moment too.
It was a great fight.
Well, it was a great fight. So yeah, you have Emily who comes in, and obviously Mia is very caught off guard, and it's not a yelling match. She just straight, Mia gets up and is headed towards Emily, which this is where I was like, oh, this little spitfire Emily can hold her own. And she packs a punch quite literally.
Yeah.
And they go at it. They fight like Lloyd and Walker did. I mean, fists were flying. That truly, chef's kiss. That was a really good, unexpected scene. And Jimmy has to literally physically take Mia out of the bunkhouse to just let the steam go off and him be able to actually communicate with her, because it's not even a cat fight. It is just full on brawl.
She slammed Mia into the refrigerator. Like, that was,
And she's petite, or she looks petite, you know what I mean?
And all the guys around the table, no one's trying to break it up. They're like, oh, no, stop, please don't. But really, they're, you know, enjoying the spectacle in front of them, I think, totally.
Right,
and
right. Even,
and betting on who would win. But no, no joke, Emily is serious about it.
Oh, well, even after Lloyd kind of, they kind of chuckle of like, what just happened? You know, thoroughly impressed. Also like, what? Who is this chick? Okay.
So fast forward a little bit. Jimmy makes his choice and ultimately decides to stick with his fiancée, Emily. And then he talks to John Dutton, and John gives him permission to leave the ranch for good. Jimmy takes that. Mm-hmm. And now one of the final scenes is him driving off back towards Texas in the 4-6's ranch truck with his fiance. And I think off the show, like, he might pop in a little bit with Travis, but I think, as we've kind of long predicted, this is the transition for actor Jefferson White to becoming the new star of the show, 4-6's Ranch, or whatever they choose to end up calling it.
And I think they did a really good job with Jimmy's character of, I felt good out of all the uncertainty and all the down emotions I felt about this finale. This is one that I felt really, really good closing that door on of like, yes, he's matured. He's grown. This is a character that we have truly watched being nurtured throughout this entire season. And I feel good about this character's ending. But I'm curious of your thoughts. Did you feel and do you feel bad for Mia?
Mildly.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
same.
Tough. You know, that happens. Sometimes you just yeah. take the L.
Yeah.
I didn't lose any sleep over it. You know, she fought for her man, and she was there for him. She really kind of nursed him back to health, and she ended up kind of getting the shaft. But, you know, it's what happens.
No,
you
same.
Know, I was same. In high school. I had a girlfriend, and I moved to the other side of the state. And, you know, the story takes a twist because I didn't get a new girlfriend on the other side of the state, but the girl I was with got a new boyfriend and I came back.
Oh, no.
And I don't think other boyfriend no. felt too bad for me.
Right. Well, I will say that scene where Emily and Jimmy are driving off and they quite literally pass Mia, I didn't feel any like, oh, man, really yeah. wish he would turn around. I'm really, really happy with just Emily and Jimmy's dynamic and... Yeah, I'm glad he chose who he chose. I don't feel, you know, any, Mia. I just feel indifferent. I'm really glad he chose Emily. I like their relationship together.
A lot of people are kind of irritated about how much this season of Yellowstone seemed to promote other shows in this franchise, be it 1883 and whatever show the 4-6's Ranch show ends up being. And on one hand, I kind of see that because a lot of the action did... sort of get you there, but a lot of it actually moved forward the plot of Yellowstone as well. Now, granted, in between there was a lot of special, you know, in between breaks there was a lot of commercials and stuff for maybe other Taylor Sheridan shows like The Mayor of Kingstown and 1883, so that probably added to some of that feeling that the show was just a big commercial for the overall plan. But I thought they did it pretty authentically, so I don't know. I don't totally agree with the criticism that this entire season has just been one big commercial for a different show.
I'd agree with you. It didn't bug me, but I have heard, you know, a lot of my friends have said the past seasons weren't like that. And so I think that's what, if you were an avid Yellowstone viewer and then coming into season 4, I think that's where, at least what I have heard the feedback of, kind of been the turn off of, it's not what we were used to.
We were both wrong on predicting if Rip and Beth would get married. I know this was she kind of stole your wedding plan, Edison. Like, one day when you get married, that's pretty much how you want to do it. Kidnap a priest at gunpoint.
Exactly.
And wear
that was
like
she took a page from my book, Beth. Back off.
Her wedding dress was the same dress that she wore for the conjugal visit. Like that stripper kind of dress she was using yes. there. That was, that's what she got married in. Fantastic.
Yes, well, even John goes, don't you want to change? No. He's like, okay.
No, that's not what she said. She says, no, I'll be out of it soon enough.
Hello, that's it. And he goes, Beth, let's remember, I'm your father. Like, let's keep the conversation. You're so right. Oh my gosh, no, I cannot imagine.
I mean, it was
incredible.
It was a perfect kind of Yellowstone wedding, I guess, in the end. I was hoping for a little bit more, I guess, personally. I wanted to see that wedding off in the hills and a little bit of a ceremony or something else going on.
John does say, he stops her down the makeshift aisle and says, please promise me that you'll let me do this for real. So we could see an actual legitimate wedding. You don't seem so certain, but a legitimate wedding in the next season.
I don't.
You crushed me before I even finished the sentence. But
I know you're talking and I just give you like a meh face.
Yeah.
I don't see him coming back to it. Just the way the show goes, they leave that loose end. They leave that. They're going to leave that one loose along with the kid with the lug nuts from the end of last season.
You and the kid with the lug nuts. We made a drinking game out of the kid with the lug nuts. You've brought him up so many times.
Yeah. I mean, that's the number one loose end of Yellowstone. The kid with the lug nuts and the bomb that Casey puts in the Beck brothers' plane. I would love to know other loose ends that annoy you as a listener. staff@tasteofcountry.com. Those are two big ones on my end. Like what happened to the kid with the lug nuts and the bomb that Casey puts in the Beck brothers' plane. Like neither confirmation about what happened with either of those.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Alrighty, time for the theories and emails and comments. Okay, first one from Jarity. Rip should have left Beth to deal with her dad. That did not concern him. She needs to clean up her own mess. That would have left Rip in a bad position. Either take the side of the woman he loves or the man he most looks up to.
This is in response to our conversation last week about how Rip should have been there with Beth when she went to go have that argument with her dad. I said that Rip should be there. Jarity says that it was fine that he wasn't. I just disagree. I respect the opinion, but I think if you're a married couple, you should kind of stand side by side. That's his role there. And Jarity, actually, we've had some nice email exchanges. We kind of worked together to try to figure out the Dutton family tree together. I don't know if we made any progress there because it's kind of confusing. Ultimately, it's now, I mean, now he is her husband. So the next time that Beth and John get into a scrape is Rip going to stand up to the old man? Like, I kind of feel like he has to now. You know, that's what you do as a husband.
Yeah, he has to now.
Yeah. But good comment. I appreciate it.
Well, and I did say, I said, I was the one who said, you know, in all, yes, I agree with your thought and your statement on, yeah, I think he needed to be in there. But I don't think if he was in there, the plot would have moved the way that it did. So I think in order for the plot to happen of what happened, I do think it was done the right way. But if this was a real world case scenario, I would want my fiance, significant other, husband to be in there with me. Jason on YouTube said this before the season 4 finale aired. He says, at the end of each season, Tate and Monica are in turmoil. Season 1 end, Monica and Tate leave Casey. Season 2's end, Monica and Tate are recovering from Tate being kidnapped. Season 3 end, Monica and Tate are assaulted in the Dutton family home. That means something big is coming for Casey, Monica, and Tate at the end of season 4. Those stories tend to pivot a major storyline where all the characters are impacted in their storylines.
He makes a pretty interesting point. A slight factual correction that I don't think is too important to his point. Casey and Monica were attacked at the beginning of season 4, not the end of season 3. But that's fine. There it does seem to be some Casey and Monica drama to end each season, and this season is no different. We had asked for some predictions on how this season would end. No one was even close to predicting how it actually ended, so we won't bring him up. But he does lead into some the drama between Monica and Casey that we saw as he came off that mountain. And they did. I mean, they absolutely do pivot the storyline, and it does look like that's going to happen once again. So Jason, even before seeing the finale, great point. Very astute observation from you. Appreciate it.
Okay, we have an Apple Podcast comment. Are you ready for this one?
Oh, someone who left a review in the area there? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Music Master left a review on Apple Podcasts, and among his critiques is, why are we constantly being told we are listening to the Dutton Rules podcast? This is a podcast we opted into, not a radio station we happened upon.
Okay.
Billy?
Fair enough.
I'm gonna give this one to you.
Yeah. All right. So full disclosure, and I usually end up writing these breaks, and it is perhaps we are a little heavy-handed with repeating the show name. His reference to the radio station is fair because I have a radio background, so I guess maybe that's in my DNA of constantly needing to get the brand out there. Functionally, there is a purpose to that. Like sometimes we chop the show up and upload it in like two or three parts just in case there's an advertisement at some point. It can kind of slot in there. And then coming out of that, you might want the show name. But I can back off that a little bit. You know what you're listening to, and we appreciate it. I will ease up.
100%. We promise we aren't intentionally trying to be annoying.
We're not
our goal here.
No.
Not our goal.
But I'm keeping another great Town Square Media podcast because you know what? Daddy needs his paycheck at the end of the day.
I think that should just be my ringtone now. I think I've said it enough times. That is my tagline. Another great
kiss the
Town
ring.
Square Media podcast. Yeah.
I got one here. This is another YouTube one. Yeah, I didn't share it, but someone makes this prediction that we've seen before. The show ends, this is Jim on YouTube, the show ends with Walker turning out to be an undercover FBI agent, and he leads an FBI raid on the ranch. John and Rip are arrested for all the past murders they committed. This is a really logical conclusion to the show, which is to say, no way in hell, Jim. It probably won't happen, because the show is nothing not illogical.
Wow, that was, my face right now is, I wouldn't have thought of that.
The Walker FBI agent theory is a pretty popular one in sort of the dark recesses of the Yellowstone internet. And that is because he was driving with Lloyd to the train station once, and he was asking Lloyd a lot of really specific targeted questions about the train station. So people think that he went away to, you know, he got kicked off the ranch for a while. Maybe he became a mole for the FBI and came back, and now he's just sort of doing reconnaissance for some sort of law enforcement agency. And this is really going to lead to the end of the Duttons. And could be something to that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's not terribly far off. That's not one of those that I'll just completely X off. That it has a little bit of substance to it.
I guess I'm hoping for a little more creativity with the end of the series. I'll say this. The other rumor is that Walker ends up on the Four Sixes Ranch. And what I found out recently about Ryan Bingham, the actor who plays Walker, is his cowboying legacy. He is a legit cowboy. That dude grew up riding bulls, bronking horses, like as a child and as a teenager. So everything you've seen Ryan Bingham do on the horse is legit. He's like one of the legit cowboys on the ranch. Like him, the actor who plays Jake, the actor who plays... the other guy, not Travis. I can't think of his name. And then, of course, Lloyd, Forey J. Smith. They're all legit cowboys. The other ones, Ryan and Kobe and Jimmy, they're just kind of actors trying to hang on to their horses for dear life. And I think the same thing is true of Teeter. I don't think she had any cowgirl cred heading into the show.
I've really enjoyed that aspect of the season, is the authenticity that they sprinkle in throughout the show. That's been a really fun watch.
Yeah, at times it's meant some less than great acting, but I think that's a give and take we can deal with.
I agree. That's Billy Dukes, who offers the insight, even if he's a bit heavy-handed with the in-show promotion. It's a give and take. Thanks, Billy. I'm Addison Haker, and coming soon on Dutton Rules, Sterling Whitaker returns to talk about his visit with actors Sam Elliott and LaMonica Garrett, then episode recaps of 1883. But we're not done talking about Yellowstone just yet. Share your wish list for season 5 at staff@tasteofcountry.com, and we'll begin to preview what's next soon. Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone 1883 podcast, is written by myself and Billy Dukes and produced by Billy Dukes. Archive episodes feature interviews with cast members like Jefferson White, Cole Hauser,
Kelly Riley and Luke Grimes, Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone in 1883 podcast, is another great Town Square Media podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.